Baptist Church, Newville, Pennsylvania. This is the prayer list for July 15, 2015. Down about halfway on this prayer list has our church members, different needs, our pastor with the spells, and Linda Stein with the mass and the colon, Mrs. Troff with health need. It has Mr. Gordon Bergen. The prayer requests are for pain relief, discouragement relief. He needs some strength, and he has terrible arthritis pain. 2 minutes before service, I got an email. Found out that Brother Gordon Bergen has relief from all pain. Brother Gordon Bergen has relief from arthritis. Brother Gordon Bergen is no longer discouraged. He's been set free. Good name. Thank God.
Amen.
It's real. You better believe it's real. Mr. Berger lived a Christian life, raised his children for life as admonition of the Lord. Been suffering for many, many years, living on a farm by himself. Nobody wants to go visit him because he's got mangy old dogs in the yard that'll eat you, and he has a mangy old rooster with legs that big around that'll hurt you if you go near it. I'm the nastiest rooster you ever met. But that's just the excuse they use for not going to visit Mr. Berger. The reason they really don't visit him is that all they want is money. Berger would be home to be with the Lord this morning. We want to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. You see, we pray for these things, not knowing really what the need is. We pray for relief from pain. We pray for relief from afflictions. I'm going to say the only relief you're ever going to get, you might get temporary relief, the only relief we're going to get is when that sting of death is taken away.
Yeah.
Or the Lord comes. Some of us will get relief then. And some of us, our miseries won't even start. The Lord's been good to us. The Lord has been faithful to us. I want to praise him. I want to bless his name. I just felt like I needed to honor Mr. Bergen in that. He's always been very kind. I've never known him to be anything but a Christian. Never known him to be anything but a gentleman. Our church is going to miss him. I don't know what we'll do this week. My wife, haven't heard anything else. I don't know what we'll, if they arrange over Saturday, we may run home for just Saturday, run back up. But I just wanted to mention that and just thank the Lord for his memory. Thank the Lord for his testimony. Mr. Gordon Bergen. Proverbs chapter 16. If you'll turn there, please. Proverbs 16, and again, I talked to Brother Taylor, texted Brother Taylor earlier this week, and, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, you're in a meeting, you don't want to be grievous, you don't want to be maligned, you don't want to just drag something on to drag it off, then again, we've met for a purpose. You don't want to meet and then just cut it short, because you're hungry or thirsty or tired or anything else. You want to just mind the Lord. And I don't want to drag on this afternoon, I don't want to just get up here and drag, but at the same time, I want to preach the message the Lord has given us. Amen. And the food will still be there. And then tonight after service, Lord willing, the food will be there. And tomorrow for breakfast, the food will be there. And tomorrow afternoon, you get the pattern. Amen. And there's always going to be food, okay? Just that said, you just follow the pattern with that. There will be food. You're not going to starve, okay? We'll be okay. A lot of things men call abomination. What's the things that God calls abomination? Immediately things jump to mind, men with men, doing that which is unseemly, it's abominable unto the Lord. Like a man lying with a beast, as odd and as foreign and as filthy and wretched as that sounds to us, it is common. In America, men have perverted themselves. They are absolute perverts. One of the great examples that, you know, I just saw just recently, and I just, because of ministry, we have to look at these things. And I saw this with this Jared, you know, the subway guy, lost all that weight. The typical, by the way, there is a reason he was morbidly obese as an 18-year-old, you know, and it's because he never left the basement. It's obvious he was in his basement or in his mother's apartment, wherever it was, and he's addicted to porn.
That's right.
The evidence of that came out. That's what he did. Now, Subway hires him after a quick background check because he lost all that weight eating Subway. That's all he needed, Subway subs. For I forget how many years, a 6-inch sub for every meal while he was in college, he lost, somebody tell me, was it 200 pounds? I mean, lost a huge amounts of weight. And now all of a sudden, everyone's like, oh, Subway's healthy. Eat Subway subs, you know. So, you know, eat fresh. That's their motto. My nieces used to drive by Subway and go, eat fresh. And, you know, they didn't know it was called Subway. They called it called eat fresh. You know, and so they planted this in the minds of people, Subway somehow healthier because of Jared. Now, when Jared gets arrested a couple weeks ago, some people, of course, defended him. Subway immediately broke ties with him. He lost his contract with him. And it turns out he had confided in a reporter who had interviewed him. She was kind of fascinated with his story. And he confided in her that he had an attraction to teenagers. And even though, you know, he had his own wife and children, he had an attraction to teenagers. And so she kind of went to the police with that. They asked her to wear a wire, and eventually they possibly entrapped him. I don't know the situation, but it comes out that he received, pornography of a nature of minors. And it was created by the man he hired to run his foundation.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then people are shocked by this. They're like, I can't believe Jared would do that. Jared was a TV character. He's a person of fiction. I believe Jared. It didn't shock me at all. I wasn't shocked when Josh Duggar's claims came out. I read the news. Some of you read the news. That didn't shock me.
Nope.
It surprised me one bit.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked.
Yes,
when John preached it yesterday. It's deceitful above all else. It's desperately wicked. Now, is it sad? You better believe it's sad. Is it heartbreaking? It ought to be heartbreaking. We ought to never be so callous to hear stories like that and to not be brokenhearted over the sin that's in our country. Men put themselves in the position of being a celebrity and put themselves under the microscope. And if they have enough money, they can hide these things with money, as most of them do, the athletes, the actors. They all have PR firms to spin everything and to hide everything and to cover everything up. The reason they do that is because man as a whole is absolutely flawed.
Yes.
We're talking about abomination. Abominable things. One, the Bible says, six things that God hates, seven, you know, is the seventh is an abomination unto him. And he goes down that list in Proverbs. Let's turn back to Proverbs 6. Let's just go through the list. I always like to start out a meeting with this list. In Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 16. Six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The six things the Lord hates, seven are abomination unto him. We want to bash the sodomites and the perverts and everybody else for their abomination. And they are abominable. But there's some other things the Lord calls abominable. He says, here's a proud look. He hates a proud look. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet to be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. In seventh, he says, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. It is an abomination from one person to another with the intent. And you may not even know in your heart it's your intent. You might think you're doing good by sowing discord, but it's an abomination unto God. That's when you go from one to another and you tell tales and you tell lies and you tell deceits one to another, and usually it's because your motive is to get your own way. The Bible says it's an abomination unto God if you sow discord among the brethren. Wicked, vile, putrid. It's as sick as two men laying in bed next to you. You can say amen on that, because that's
sure.
An abomination is an abomination.
Yes, sir.
It's as sick as two men laying in bed. It's as sick as a man and a horse laying together in a stall.
Yep. Yep.
If your tongue is one that cuts people asunder for the purpose of your gain and your profit, and you drive wedges, discord between the brethren, it's an abomination unto God. It comes out of an abominable heart. Proverbs 16, verse number 5 says this. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. There might seem to be unity. There might seem to be fellowship. But you'll not go unpunished if your heart is proud. Brother John preached yesterday. I believe that's what the Lord delayed me in preaching. It helped me understand some things concerning the heart. And I was really wrestling with this scripture, to be honest with you. He just unlocked the key in the first 2 minutes yesterday. I thank the Lord for it. He's not that your mind is proud. It's not when your mind, again, there's those thoughts of pride, you're trying to suppress one accusing, one excusing. I'm such a good person. No, you're not a good person. Oh, but everybody loves me. No, everybody hates you. No, there's that battle of the mind, that battlefield of two natures. No, he said, when your heart is proud, it's an abomination to God. You've never humbled your heart. That's what the Bible talks about, humbling your heart. When your heart has pride, the very nature of who you are is pride. You want attention. Any of your motives that are for the applause of people, for the applause of man, for the love of self, the people would say, oh, what a wonderful job you've done. And by the way, Brother Taylor, I've been places where I've seen people do that under the guise of religion, and it was all for self-promotion. What can I get out of this? Who will acknowledge me in this? Who will notice me that I can be lifted up? John the Baptist gave us some great examples. Brother Taylor even preached. It's not that they would see us, but they would see Christ in us. But to be honest, most of the time what they see is they see us. But John the Baptist said that he must increase. How does that happen? Well, I must decrease. For him to increase, I must decrease. Humble your heart. Humble your heart. Put your heart in a place of subjection to God. Without that, by the way, you'll never be saved. Proud heart is an abomination. Part of the mark of a reprobate in Romans chapter number 1, amongst all those other characteristics, one of those great characteristics simply says this: proud. They are proud of sin. They are proud of their sinful condition. They are proud of who they are and what they are, despite the fact that they have defiled a holy God with their life and with their actions, but they're proud. I told them down south, and I'm not ashamed of this, I told them down south, I said, more people will die being proud of being a Southerner, I mean, than most people I've met in the North that will die proud to be a Yankee. Yep. And I want to say this, I'll say this down south, I'm going to say this here, so don't think I'm just grandstanding, but I tell them, when you win, you don't have to be puffed up. You already won. Proud. Southern pride. Proud to be, and you can just pick the place. You all have friends in Texas, you know. Everything's bigger and better in Texas. You know, we got bigger rowels on our spurs and bigger boots and bigger trucks and bigger, everything's bigger. And I've met people in Texas that were so puffed up with Texas pride. I mean, they live in a dust bowl where nothing grows and the cattle have to forage dead brush because it doesn't rain for 3 years in a row, but it's the best place in the world to live. I met New Yorkers, and there's no place in the world like New York. My wife and I met a lady, and I won't mind, but we met a lady who lives inside of the GW Bridge going into the Bronx. Well, it goes into Manhattan, but she lives right on the line. She lives in the Bronx overlooking the GW. And she's like, I love the Bronx. And I'm like, oh, my soul, how could you live in the Bronx? I love the Bronx. And she said this, she said, well, we said something like, well, we enjoy living in Pennsylvania. And she goes, well, you all got them deers. I thought, okay. You ask my wife before the Lord. She goes, and I hate deers. You live in the Bronx and you hate deers? Are you kidding me? One of the joys of life is seeing deer, as long as they're not too far out, you know, too close to the car. Amen, Brother Dale.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's a joy we have in life.
That's right.
Most of us have already met one up close and personal, I'm sure. But she said, I hate deers. You live in a jungle, an asphalt jungle, where 10,000 people live on your block. And you enjoy that. You know, it's like, it's that pride. That inner pride, the pride of who I am, and pride of where I come from, and proud of my background, and proud of my family, and proud of my heritage, and proud of my abilities. I try not to tell too many sports stories because I'll just be honest with that. I'm 43, and I'd be real honest. Most of my sports stories are in the past. If I say anything now concerning sports, I was watching. That's how it starts. You know, I mean, we can all boast. We can all tell of our you know, the three-pointer we made at the buzzer, or the touchdown we scored in the, you know, in the last quarter of the final game of the year, or, you know, we could tell the stories of the home run, or we could tell the story of knocking the guy out, or, you know, whatever our accomplishments were. That's a long time in the past. But you'd be amazed how many people live on that. They thrive on that. I've met preachers, and within the first 2 minutes of meeting it, it comes out, I played, and you can fill in that, high school football, college football. There's 27 million, I looked it up one time, high schoolers, 27 million high schoolers a year playing high school football. He said, that's an awful high number. It is an awful high number. Or not me, not high school, but playing football with a peewee high school. Even girls now playing football. To be proud of that, I played high school. They let anybody on the team. I played high school tennis. Some of you might think that's effeminate, but I got kicked off the baseball team. I'm not proud of that fact. It's just what happened. I got kicked off the baseball team. They didn't let me play. So I went and played tennis. I played two matches, lost them both, and they kicked me off the tennis team. Oh, I'm so proud of my accomplishment. So proud of what I've done. So proud of my life. My sister uses a false version of the Bible. She has no argument for it. She has no discussion for it, but if I bring it up, she'll absolutely tear me to pieces about it.
Oh, yeah.
You better be careful about your pride of what you carry. Why do you carry it? I had a young man told me one time, he said, my daddy used a King James, so I use a King James. I said, what's your argument for it? His argument was, my daddy used it. What's a real good argument? My sister's argument, she goes, it's better than your Bible. I said, what? Well, how is it better than my Bible? Explain to me how it's better. I got 1,000 arguments. I got 66 books of arguments how it's superior. Pride of the heart. Proud of who I am. Proud of what I carry. Proud of my religion. Proud of my church. Proud of the pride of the heart of man is an abomination to God.
Let us take you on a tour of our building. I know you never hear that folks ever. That's catacombs, he said. But let us take a tour of our building. Sunday, they took me on a tour of the building, and it's about 30 seconds, maybe. Took a tour here, it's 22 seconds. You know, I was glad that you take a tour of our church, it takes about 41 seconds. That's only because they all have the doors closed. It takes a little while to open the doors, and they keep on closed. Well, let us take you on a tour of our building. You know, it's like the guy that has the Harley Davidson that's completely chromed out. You know, he's got the sissy bar in the back with the gold eagle. He's got the leather backpacks. He's hauling a cart behind it. You know, his wife's on there. Her arms are flapping in the wind, holding on. You know, everything's painted. The helmets match. The suits match. You know, they spend all this money. And they pull up, so when they get on, I mean, struts off that. They strut off that bike. And my thinking, my reason is how foolish. If I wanted to spend the money, I could have the exact same thing. You're proud of how much money you spent. You're proud of your Corvette. I could have bought a Corvette. I used to have enough money to own a Corvette. But all I'm saying is I was so dumb, I bought this Corvette. Come on, help me out with that.
Yeah, that's right, bro. Yeah.
I'm so foolish, all I did was buy a Corvette. Mm-hmm. This is what I had to show from my, that's what you're telling the world. This is what I had to show from my money is this, right here.
Yeah.
This little piece of fiberglass, and if a deer hits it, it's going to destroy it.
Yeah, that's right.
Proud. We're a proud country. We're a proud people. We're proud of religion.
Yes, sir.
We're proud in our homes.
Yep.
We're proud in our lands. We're proud in our possession. The Lord said, a proud heart is an abomination.
Sure did.
Where do you draw the line? You know, I had neighbors. Literally, their names were Jones. So when you say keep up with the Joneses, it was quite the irony. I didn't play their game, but the other neighborhood, they played the game. And I'm not exactly within a year. One got a new truck, the other got a new truck.
If one got a new lawnmower, the other one got a new lawnmower. I just want to say, if that's you, you have a pathetic life. That's
yes,
a
sir.
Way to live.
That's right, brother.
What a terrible way to live. Such things as you have therewith to be content. He said, with food and raiment to be content. If God's clothed you, if God has given you clothing, God's put food in your mouth, you ought to be content with that. He's given us so much more than that. He's given us a roof over our heads. And He's given us transportation that starts with a turn of a key. You don't have to feed it.
That's right.
Go down your hooking nozzle up to it every once in a while.
Yeah.
It eats off the gas pump. You don't have to go out there every morning and curry it and feed it. He's given us so much more than what we deserve, so much more than is required for contentment. And yet we're so proud.
Yeah, that's good.
Is any wonder that God has known us afar off? Because Psalms, I believe it's in 128:6, he says, God knoweth the proud afar off. I hear preachers all the time say, God is not a distant God. Well, for most, he is. He knoweth the proud afar off. That's what the Lord said, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. By the way, if we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto us. Amen. How do we draw nigh to Him? We have to humble ourselves. He knows us afar off. If we're proud or puffed up with pride, He is a distant God for those that are puffed up with pride. God detests pride. God despises pride. If the pride is in your heart, it's an abomination to Him. James was at 4:6 as God resisted. That's why most people aren't saved. There are people saying that their desire is to be saved. There are people saying they want to be saved. There are people that say they got saved. But if you've never humbled yourself, God resisteth the proud. The rest of the verse says, He giveth grace to the humble. God's never saved a proud person yet. Who's saved? He resisteth the proud. God doesn't give grace to the proud. He gives grace to the humble.
Right.
He resisteth the proud. If you come to Him with pride, He won't receive you because He resists you. Why? Because if it's a proud heart, it's an abomination to Him. But He does give grace to the humble. Thank God for that.
Thank God. Yeah.
If you'll humble yourself, realize that He's holy. Realize your need. Realize that what you have is nothing compared to space and eternity. And that's, of course, why He told us to seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah.
Why? Because none of those things amount to anything. You know, here's our piano room. Here's our library. You know, here's our dining room. My wife's ashamed to show off our dining room, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's the Culberson Emporium where he's not in the dining room. She's embarrassed. She doesn't really even have a dining room. It's just a title on the house. It says one dining room. If we sold the house, we put one dining room. No, it's a junk room. It's just filled with all my junk that I'm selling. You know, but they take it. This is our, you know, and thank God that God bless us. But let it always be noticed, the blessings of God. Never in our pride do we show off the things that we have. Never in our pride do we lift up and think that we're anything, that God has not blessed us, that we've obtained this ourselves. That's where these athletes have fallen miserably. They think in their own talents. They think in their own gifts and their own physical ability. They think that they have accomplished what's been accomplished through themselves, not realizing that God has given them strength, and God has given them hands, and God has given them a mind and eyes, and God has provided physically for them that they would glorify Him. But then they use it and claim it's their talents, and doing so, they have a proud heart and an abomination to God. Every father, not every father, most fathers in America, they want their son to be, you know, the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. The most prized position in probably all of sports. Starting quarterback, Dallas Cowboys. There have been less than 25 over the years. Do the odds. Just do the math. One out of the 25, 26 odd million playing football this year, one of them will make it to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, don't take this doctrinally, just take it for what it is. You're smarter buying lottery tickets. You'll spend less money buying lottery tickets than you are investing in your son becoming the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Don't get all twisted out of sorts.
That's right.
But you're smarter going down and buying lottery tickets and hoping you hit it big, because the odds are better that you'll win. You have a better chance, and you'll actually spend less money in the long run than you will shoveling him back and forth to practice and back and forth and buying all the equipment. Just to say, hey, my son and my daughter, and you know, we were in the hotel the other week, and I told my wife, I want to watch some of the Little League World Series. And I learned why they call them fans. They're fanatics. They're absolutely nuts. You know, they fly in from Hawaii to watch, you know, 12-year-olds play baseball, and they weep and cry when they lose, and they go nuts when they win. They scream when their son doesn't get to play, and they throw a little fit because little Jimmy got thrown out at first base, and they curse the umpire and mail him death threats. And America's sin sick with sports. Why? Because of pride. Yeah.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Because of pride. Mm-hmm. I used to play baseball, especially primarily later on, played organized volleyball at a competitive level. And I watched, especially with children, I watched these dads and moms go absolutely nuts with sports. I mean, they drive their son, they drive him to the nth degree for sports. I've seen a dad grab a hold of his son's jersey and cuss it. I mean, curse him. Take the Lord's name in vain, cursing at him because he gave up a home run.
Yeah, no way.
Psychotic about it, insane about it. Why? Proud heart. Let's just take that a little bit further down the line. That proud heart, that pride, and I know we're all, you can say you're somewhat proud of your children. That pride of heart towards your children is still an abomination. I had a buddy I worked with, and some of your parents would get mad at this, but that's never bothered me anyway. I had a buddy I worked with, and he said, why don't some of these parents just be honest and say, my baby's dumb as a board? Because, I mean, the kid's 6 years old, and he's going, Dad, look how smart he is. He's like, why can't they just be honest and say, you know what, my kid's really well below average. Come on now, you can tell me the truth. Look how smart he is. Milk dribbling down his chin. Look how smart he is. Come on, grandparents, you can help me out a little bit. Look how smart they are. Did you realize that pride can carry into those children?
Oh, yes, sir, brother, it will.
And it'll destroy their lives.
Sure will.
The cockiest people I went to school with in high school, the cockiest people I have had wrecked and ruined lives as adults. All the guys that strutted, I mean, they were cocky, man, they were punks. You know, and before I got saved, especially, because I was kind of a big wimp in high school. I was tall and gangly, kind of awkward, you know. I didn't really start filling out until I was about 21, 22 years old. Now I was 23 years old. I used to pray I'd run into him. You know, the guy that used to, you know, try to bully me and shove me against the lockers, because, you know, I was kind of scared to fight and all that. But I was 23, I used to pray I'd run into him. Let me find that little punk. I remember one at Waffle House one day. I'm sitting there, and he sees me, just kind of looks away real quick. I walked over and just tower over him. I said, hey, John, how you doing, buddy? Oh, good, man. How you been? How you been since high school? Oh, good, man. Good. I said, hey, you remember pushing me around in school? Hey, man, it was just school, man. It was just school, you know? I'm like, you little punk. His life's ruined today.
Sure.
Multiple marriage, children by multiple women.
Yes, sir.
Been in and out of jail for DWIs. His life's ending. Why? Because he had parents that were so proud of every little thing he did. Yeah. He had to dress the best. He had to have the best clothing. He had to have had the best in sports. He had to have the best. I mean, his grandparents came to every single game. They drove him hundreds of miles to play soccer. Soccer, you don't want to get on that. But he drove hundreds of miles to play soccer. And they'd go to every tournament and every camp and everything. You get to be a soccer player. And he wasn't even that good. But sure they build up a sense of pride in that young man. And he is the cockiest punk still today at 44 years old.
Shame, bro. Yeah.
That I probably ever met.
Shame.
Why? Because that pride was instilled in his heart by his parents. That pride was put in him in his heart, and it's an abomination unto God. Can you imagine me being proud of my past? Of anything in my past? I mean, that's like, you know, being 50 years old and still going back to the day. In eighth grade, you had A on your math test. And for some of you, that was a huge accomplishment. Amen. I mean, that was a monumental accomplishment. But to still carry it around in your wallet? You know, instead of finishing my grandchildren, let me show you this. In eighth grade,
I got an A on my math. But you know, there are people that are almost that foolish.
Sure they are, brother.
The accomplishments of their life, the accomplishments they've done, the things that they have done. You know, I've had them come up to me, you know, and they flash the ring. If you don't know if that means you're okay. They flash the ring, you know. Well, if I want to pay my dues, I could join too. What's the big deal? Who cares? Mr. Proctor and I at church, and I'll just tell a story to myself. Mr. Proctor and I, we flash our wedding rings to each other. He walks by, I flash my ring. He flashes. We're the non-Masons, by the way. We flash our wedding rings. We're not Masons. We flash our ring. Anyway, it's a little joke. Nobody gets it. He thinks we're nuts. But I just flash it. We're non-Masons, you know. Oh, I joined, you know, I'm a member of the Elks Club. Well, I could be too if I want to spend $120 a year and join. Who cares?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a member of the American Legion. Well, I am too. Not really, I'm just joking about Taylor. But you could be a member of Arkansas. I'm qualified to be a member of the American Legion. I could go down to the drunk pit and drink and buy lottery tickets and tip jar tickets, and I could do the same thing. Proud at heart. I know I'm meddling now, but that's okay. I think the Lord has me meddling. We're all right. All right. Hey. Proud at heart. What I've accomplished, the things I have done. You know, I'm a member of the Odd Fellows. I wouldn't want to be a member of the Odd Fellows. I'll just be honest. And you know when you meet them, unshriver. Well, you drive a goofy car in the parade. You wear a goofy hat. You're a member of a secret society that glorifies Satan. That's fine. Brag about your membership in the strike. I have accomplished. I, proud at heart, the abomination of the God. And by the way, that's most people in this world. I've watched people, Brother Aswin dealt with that yesterday a little bit. Homeless on the streets. They're so proud of those opinions.
Yeah, sure.
They're so proud. I have been preached more probably by homeless people on the streets than I have in church. I've had more people preach to me on the street. Their philosophies, their ideas. Well, I tell you what I think about the government, you know, and they're laying there in a cardboard box on a street eating scraps. With a light tower hacked at the bottom, they broke into the bottom of the light tower, cut out some of the cables, crossed the cables, plugged a power strip into the cable that they cut, wired all together with tape, and they're charging their cell phones and their radios out of the bottom of this light. But they won't go get a job? Are you kidding me? I'm not exaggerating. Baltimore Light, Legasso Electric, there's the light pole right there. They broke it open at the bottom. They had everything wired, everything cross-wired, hacked in the bottom, and they're charging all their electrical devices. Now that if you have that, you can work. I can't do that. Wow.
That's right, brother.
Wow. I met Helen. I told a story many times. I'm sure you all heard me tell the story of Helen. She's a homeless lady in Baltimore. Sister the Brandy church got a burden forward, witness to her, talk to her. I remember Brandy telling her, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride. This lady, Helen, would just hang her head. She was so proud of her situation. She was proud of her boyfriend. She was proud of her shoes. She got new shoes in a dumpster somewhere. She's proud of these things. I thought, oh, my soul, how deceitful the devil is. How deceitful he is to people. Puff them up about the slightest thing. A man in his home that a car had hit the side of the building. He lived in a Y, and the left Y went up and the right went down, and his house was in between. And the young man was drunk one night, they think running about 100 miles an hour. The car left the road and moved his house. I don't want to exaggerate. It was at least 2 feet off the foundation, maybe 3. And I'd heard about it. I really just got under a burden for it. I said, I want to go talk to this fellow. He was laying in his bedroom next to it. The car went into the room next to him and his wife's. They walked out in the hallway. They turned the corner, and there's a smashed-in car in the side. And there's a. He told me, I won't give you all the details, but the young man was dead. He was in the windshield of the car laying when they walked into the next room. This guy's in their house dead. I went to visit him on Tuesday night and walked in there. And we walked in, and the guy immediately starts showing me what he's done and the work he's done in his dying room. Is the paneling, I'm not mocking, oh my soul, it's awful. This is the paneling we put up last year, and his wife showed me the work he did over here and how he put some crown molding up in the, and I thought to myself, your house is 3 feet off its foundation. He wouldn't hear the gospel.
He wouldn't listen because he's so proud of what he has. Religion's that way with people. They say religion is the opiate of the masses, and I want to say honestly, I can't argue with that. Religion is the opiate of the masses. But Christianity does away with the opiate. Religion puts people in a catatonic state. What does it do? It feeds their pride.
Yep, sure does.
It puffs them up. Most people I meet, and they say, well, you know, our pastor, that's the first thing, our pastor, so proud of their pastor. You know, Pastor Dave, you know, pastor, or, you know, our youth pastor, Jimmy, you know, and they're so proud of religion, so proud of their building, so proud of the organization. I had a guy talking about a tour of his church one time. He said, we have a wrestling outreach. And of course, my ears perked up. I thought, well, this is great. I'd like to actually come be a part of that for a little while. Then I realized I was getting old and it would hurt me. But I'm thinking like guys in a ring, you just go in there and play like King of the Mountain, just throw them all around. But this is that high school style wrestling stuff. And so he's in there showing me, they put out wrestling mats. And they bring young people up from the community. And that man was so proud of their wrestling ring. And so proud of their wrestling program. And so proud of the young men that are now in church because of the wrestling. They're not converted. They're not saved. They're not born again. All they have is wrestling and religion.
That's right.
But I asked him, I said, are you saved? And he blew up like a puffer fish. Well, angry about the question. Angry with me. Are you saved? If you asked me if I was saved, yeah, I wouldn't get mad at you at all.
Amen.
I'll tell you about the day the Lord saved me.
Yep.
What? His pride of religion has puffed him up where he will not hear the truth. He cannot hear the truth. That's why it's an abomination of God. The proud heart, abomination of God. With pride cometh shame. The Bible says, with pride cometh contention. The Bible also says, with pride cometh a fall. You look for a proud heart, you'll find a proud heart. When you find contention, there will be shame because of that pride. And there will be a fall. That young man I gave an example of, well, I hate to even think of using him as an example. I've known him most of my whole life. But his dad so filled his mind with pride, so puffed him up as a young man, that even when he's sitting in a jail cell looking out the plexiglass at you, he's puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
He's still proud. Brother Dale, others, I think he was an example, but Brother Dale, others could say, you go to prison, some of those prideful people you're meeting, people in there.
That's right.
Nobody's guilty. Nobody's done anything
right.
Wrong.
Yep.
They have to do, I do it all over again. That mindset, you
yes,
know.
Sir.
That pride has puffed them up. Your pride puffs some of you up, and you won't receive the truth.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Who are you to tell me? Who are you to preach to me?
Who are you to get up there and tell me what's right and what's wrong? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
God resists the proud.
Oh, help.
Second message on pride this week. Not a coincidence. God needs us to be reduced because he resists the pride. But he gives grace and humble. God won't save you if you're proud. He's allowed to get saved. But he will give grace if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Who are you to tell me?
Who are you to tell me my music's wrong? Who are you to tell me that my Bible's wrong? Who are you to tell me that my church is wrong? Who are you to tell me that this is wrong? Who are you to tell me I'm not anybody?
Yes, sir. That's it, brother.
But the Bible tells you you're wrong.
Right.
You're wrong.
Yep.
I challenge you to take anything I've said today, of course, personal stories aside, because I can't necessarily prove them, you can't necessarily prove them, they're just an example for us. But you take anything we've said out of the Word of God, I challenge you to disprove it.
That's right.
And if you try to, it's because you're proud, and you know nothing.
Oh, help us, Lord.
God knows the proud far off. That means way over there, God knows you. But if you'll humble yourself, some of you might be the first time in your life you said, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I've learned this, even in marriage, I've learned to tell my wife this. Even if I don't even think I'm wrong, sometimes I go, honey, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And usually by the time I'm done speaking, I know I was wrong.
That's good, yeah.
Because the bride comes from the kitchen. And it, you know, I can embarrass you for good things. You know, even if I just hit a target her the whole time, my wife's so proud of the tailor. She's so puffed up. We always fight because she's so proud. Are you silly? Are you serious about that? You know, my wife is so arrogant. We fight all the time. With pride comes contention, right? So if there's pride, if you're upset, if you're contentious about it, something that's been said, it's because of your pride. Great peace have they with love thy law, Psalm 119:165, and nothing shall offend them. If you're offended, it'll be your pride. If you're contentious, it's your pride. Nothing but pride. With pride cometh contention. My wife, you know, if she just stopped being so proud, we wouldn't fuss all the time. No, it's because obviously my pride, because God forbid that I look inwardly at me and find there's a problem. What's the same with religion? People say with the preacher all the time, mad at the preacher all the time, because they never take a good inward look to find out that contention that's in their heart is caused by them, and it's caused because of pride. And if you're mad at me, and you don't let me know you're mad at me, or you try to, let me just say this, you might just let me know by these physical responses. Let me give you a couple examples. Nipsey, that would have you. I didn't do anything to you. If you're contentious, it's because you're proud.
That's right.
And you need to humble yourself. I can understand you want me to hurry. Your stomach's growling. Hey, breakfast. Your stomach will be growling about 4 o'clock. Get breakfast. Stomach might be growling. You might be irritable. You might just, you know, get grouchy at 12 o'clock. Your blood sugar's low. You're tired. You can sleep with all these things. But if you're contentious over the preacher, it's just your pride.
That's right.
Thanks for anything Brother Taylor said. It's just your pride.
Yes, yep. Sir.
Who is that guy to get up there and stomp and holler? And who is he to tell all these stuff? Who is he? It's just your pride.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yes.